Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. What do we have this month? Spiritual month. Gotta love spiritual month. Some really powerful stuff coming your way. Our guest today, I am so excited to have on the phone. Clemen Strzok is on the line. How you doing, Clemen?
Thank you, Jordan. I'm doing amazing. And also, thank you for having me here. And it's such an honor to be here with you all, with you personally and all live bookers, my fellow soul brothers and soul sisters, live bookers. I've done live books, so it's good to be here. Thank you.
Fantastic. And I'm just so excited to be working with, first of all, you and Sylvana and all you do, but also the whole Mind Valley family, this whole Mind Valley network. It's going to be such a powerful collaboration when we all combine forces and start to share value on an unprecedented level. You know, it's going to be exponential when we're all working together. Do you feel that way too?
I feel it on all levels. I totally agree.
So listen, spirituality, love, the spiritual category, love and spiritual month, and you have a lot to talk about. Like I said, Sylvana has always really, really interested me. For those who don't know what Sylvana is, please tell us about it.
Well, okay, with pleasure. So Sylvana is Mind Valley's sub-brand, a platform and an app for modern spirituality, where you as a user can join online group meditations with other spiritually evolved human beings from around the world, where the world's best healers can help you dissolve, heal, and free yourself from unpleasant emotions like, you know, let's say like depression, loneliness, and all of this. So basically, it's bringing modern spirituality to mainstream world and making it also fun and exciting, because it's, you know, we are spiritual beings, and, you know, that's why I'm so glad that spirituality is part of Lifebook as well, because it's such an integral part of our existence in this beautiful, wonderful world.
Mm. What is your mission over at Sylvana? What are you trying to accomplish over there? What do you do?
Our mission is to heal, unite, and raise the consciousness of humanity on a planetary scale. Now, this might sound a little bit vague. What does it really mean? Basically, it means, in a way, uniting humanity under like core values like peace, unity, collaboration instead of competition. We are facing so many challenges as a human species that it's time for us to really, you know, to go beyond all these differences, cultural differences, you know, Muslims versus Christians, blacks versus whites, Mexicans, Americans, you know. We simply need to step together and in a way unite and recognize that all of the challenges that we are facing as a human species on this planet, everything from, planetary natural disasters, poverty, hungers, wars, aggression, the rise of depression, loneliness, all of this stems from some kind of isolation and separation, treating each other and everyone else around as as something different. Mm-hmm. But in reality, we are all one. We are all connected. So this is what we are doing. And we literally want to see we want to participate and contribute to making this planet and humanity. I like to joke, like, let's make humanity great again, because yes, we can. This is what we're doing. You know, spirituality, we see spirituality as a tool, as a medium, as a channel to really create a world where we enjoy and thrive as civilization, you know, and we, without any wars and aggression and all these political, excuse my language, like it's just, we need to evolve. It's time.
Mm-hmm. I love it, man. And I love combining technology with, you know, with this powerful, benevolent mission and shift that's going on worldwide, because it can go either direction. You know what I mean? Like you said, isolation, man, technology can isolate us further and further and kind of bring us to the darkest places of the world and humanity. Or alternatively, it can bring us together like never before, right?
Exactly. And if I may share something, let's say technology, there's a lot of, right now, there's a lot of, you know, artificial intelligence and the rise of robots. All of these are hot topics right now, kind of like concerning. So you have like different groups of people. Some people are super excited about it. Some people are super afraid about it and concerned.
Right.
But technology, technology, as you mentioned, it's not good on it or bad on itself. It's what we do with it that really matters. It's like when we look back centuries ago, water itself is a technology. It can save lives. You know, it can literally fuel your life. You cannot live without water. It can plant your flowers, you know, and gardens. But at the same time, it can also drown you. Mm-hmm. You can also drown in it. Same with fire. It can help you make a meal, protect you from dangers, give you light, give you warmth, right? But at the same time, the same technology can also destroy and you know, create like unpleasant things. It's same with modern technology. We see this, for example, modern technology, social networks, you know, all these apps and mobile phones are making us more connected in a way. But at the same time, we are becoming more lonely. So there's literally a big, huge challenge. It's the epidemics of loneliness. More and more people are feeling empty and lonely despite us being more connected. So yeah, I totally agree. Technology plays an important part. And in Solvana, we are leveraging modern technology to really help people connect with themselves, you know, with other people, with entire humanity and so forth. So yeah, this is how we are using modern technology.
I just like to see, you know, people like you putting hours of their day towards this, because the easy route is to go the negative route. I don't know why that's the path of least resistance, but it seems to be. So it's always impressive to talk about, to see people like you kind of putting forth the effort and crusading and championing this sort of thing. So tell us how you got here. Tell us about your own journey in the spiritual category, how you ended up having a mission like this and wanting to run an organization like this.
Amazing. And this is, I would love to share this. And thank you so much, Jordan, for asking this. Now, before I share this, I just want to share something very profound. I would say to dear listener listening to this right now, I can assure you that once you connect with your true essence, who you really are, once you really start living your life that somehow aligned, let's call it with your soul or spirit or your that inner voice, you know, magic starts happening in your life. I mean, it's then that you don't need motivation anymore, because you are fueled with passion to serve, to create something that will help a greater good. So that's, you know, the end result of, if you ask me, the end result of being a spiritual person, you know exactly why you are here on this planet, which if you think about it, Jordan, is one of the grandest questions, right? Mm-hmm. Why am I here, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like, why was I born? What should I do? Where do I belong? Where is my tribe? So all of these were kind of like questions that I went through. And if I may briefly share the story, it's an extremely fast and intense emotional roller coaster, you know? So it started in 2014 when I realized that I have problems with alcohol and drugs, marijuana in particular. So I was literally addicted, and I could not fall asleep without a few bottles of beer and a few joints, literally. Mm. So this is first lesson for dear listener. One key thing that I learned now when I look back and when I connect the dots is being self-aware of your own states. It's super important and it's powerful. And it's amazing. I live by the rule that awareness on itself is 50% of solution. So if you basically, you know, if you're aware of the challenge that you are facing or, you know, the states that you're experiencing, that on itself is 50% of the solution already.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one lesson. Now, then I realized that, you know, of course, that the addiction and self-destructive behaviors and self-sabotaging behaviors was only a symptom of something else. And you can see this, I mean, all over the world right now. But I felt empty. I felt like I am not living aligned with my truth, who I really am. At that time, I had a marketing agency. From the outside world, my life looked perfect. I mean, I had healthy cash flow, no debt. I mean, but from the inside, I was really miserable and lost somehow in a place where I felt and I knew on some level that I don't belong. And if I may share, I come from Slovenia, Europe. It's a beautiful country. It's such a beautiful country. Like, you have to visit this wonderland. It's gorgeous. But however, I didn't feel like Slovenia is my place where I want to be, literally, even though I like to return home, but planet Earth is my home. So that was like first step. And then what I decided is that I want to find my truth, right? And I did not know what my truth is. So I did basically a home cleansing retreat where I literally isolated myself from all the distractions, meeting external world. I went within. This is also a very important lesson here is, as much as we are like to be around people, but sometimes it's important to, you know, take some solitude, isolate yourself from external world. Yes. So you can really connect with yourself, who you really are. That's why retreats and all of these things are so important. And then what happened basically during this, I mean, what I did in this cleansing retreat, I didn't go anywhere. So I didn't travel any, you know, special place. I simply stayed home. I just stopped attending meetings, you know, disabled all notifications, phone calls. It was just me, myself, and I. And what I did is basically every day I was combining, like I wanted to cleanse myself on three levels. On a mental level, physical level, and emotional level. And literally, there was a routine. And hopefully, dear listener, if you find some inspiration on, for example, first thing that I knew, I need to calm down and cleanse my conscious, rational mind. At that time, I already you know, knew the technique called transcendental meditation. It's a wonderful meditation technique designed to really help you reach a state where you are fully aware and present, but there are no thoughts. So that was one element of cleansing my conscious, my rational mind. Mm-hmm. The other one, which was also very interesting, is I turned 100% raw vegan food. So I wanted to cleanse my physical body. And so everything was around this notion. I felt on some level that I'm like this onion wrapped in so many layers of some stuff that is not me. So I just wanted to cleanse, just remove all these layers that are not me, and then reach whatever I will find. This is where it gets very interesting.
Wow,
right?
Wow.
And then what I was also doing is on an emotional level, I somehow identified some, let's say, subconscious limiting beliefs on a subconscious level and some emotional trauma from my childhood. And I literally used technique called EFT, or emotional freedom technique, or tapping,
right,
where you literally tap, and there's like, it's very simple, it's free, it works wonders, right? And I was doing this literally two times a day, transcendental meditation, two times a day, EFT tapping, and of course, walks and smoothies and salads. And on day 14, Jordan, the magic happened. I didn't expect this to come, but I can just, now when I look back, it's so easy for me to describe what happened. But this was my first spiritual awakening. And this on itself was till this day, till this moment, Jordan, the most intense and the most spectacular 3 minutes in my life. I mean, I can just feel the goosebumps right now. It's difficult to explain using linear words something that happens. But if I may I explain how does this literally looks like?
Please, yes, yeah.
So this is basically, it happened during transcendental meditation. So you can imagine, you know, I was sitting on a sofa doing my thing, and suddenly it opened up. It feels like the bandwidth, the internet connection with the universe or God or however, you know, you call this massive reality. The internet connection went from 1 megabyte per second to 1 trillion terabytes per nanosecond. Wow. It's like in a split second, in a split moment, the perception of reality, who you are, how the world works, how the world is, the perception of time, space, everything shifts from one extreme to another. It's very intense. So at that time, I was literally drowning in tears. I can really, like, I'm right now tapping into this energy because it's so profound. Like, I will never forget this. It's my mind was going literally, like, there was like internal dialogue happening. Like what is happening? Am I going crazy here? Like, but then some inner voice, and this is also very important, dear listener, listen to your inner voice. Mm-hmm. It's a silent whisperer that is telling you something. And that inner voice is usually a gentle voice. It's gentle. It's not loud, but it's inner. It's very important to listen to that. And that inner voice was telling me, Clement, let go. Let go, surrender. This is it. You are okay. Everything is okay. You are returning home. This is it. So this was, in a way, my experience. And if I may even more contextualize what happened, this is the first time where I experienced what I call a duality of existence. This is the first time where I literally looked at my hands, and I remember this moment. I literally said to myself, wow, I am in this physical body. Wow, I have a body. It's not like I am a body, right? Because usually, I mean, most people identify ourselves as we are this physical body, right? Mm-hmm. But what in reality, what the listener, what you have is a body. You are a soul, a spirit, a consciousness, a software, if you're an engineer, inside this hardware, the vessel called physical body that helps you experience life in this 3D reality. So that was my experience. Like literally, I went like, whoa, I have these fingers. Oh my God, this is amazing, right? So that was, as I shared, it was emotional roller coaster. One thing that also happened, and this is very interesting, at that moment, all fears disappeared. There were no fears. I mean, even the most ultimate fear, like fear of dying, literally, it vanished, it disappeared. And this is where I realized, and this was also so profound, is literally like we are all immortal. There's absolutely nothing to be afraid about. Even after we physically die on some level, I felt it, I know it, even today, we don't die. The physical body, yes, is to exist and dies, but we continue to exist. And there's whole bunch of science and, of course, and you know, metaphysical, esoterical things about reincarnations and past lives and all of this. But this was the first time where I experienced this.
Wow.
So what was really, really amazing and what was the most intense for me at that moment, I somehow realized how the world works. I mean, all the things from Star Wars, you know, the dark side, the Jedis, I mean, everything just connected. And I realized, basically, I heard literally billions of souls hailing for help directly me. So this was super intense. Yeah, I mean, I somehow realized, you know, how today's world works. Imagine physical bodies, people walking around, you know, from the outside. I call this outer fakeness, inner emptiness. From the outside, everything looks nice. You know, people have driving nice cars, living in nice houses, you know, those who have it, you know, smiling faces. But deep down inside, there is like this emptiness, this connection, you know. And all of these souls were literally hailing, calling for me, directly me. Like, and this was extremely, extremely, extremely intense. I cannot even describe how intense this was. I mean, at that time, my shirt was already drowning in tears, literally, like soaking in tears. And so this was the awakening moment. But then what happened next is, this is like a typical path what people experience, especially during these retreats and various ceremonies. This is intense. This is really intense. So if I look back, of course, I would do it again, but I would do it like I would seek some advice first, because I mean, the result of this was then the next phase came very quickly, literally one day, the deepest depression I ever experienced in my life.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, it's, and depression. Now, when I look back, depression came from two things. First is sense of helplessness. I wanted to help, you know, I wanted to make a change in this world that contribute. How can I help all these people? You know, what can I do? I want to help. But who am I? I'm just Clement from, I'm nobody. I'm in this, I live in one of the smallest cities in the world, in one of the smallest countries in the world. Like, I want to help, but what can I do? I'm just like, I have zero influence, zero impact, zero connections. Like, I cannot even get myself up yet to help others. So that was first, like, the sense of hopelessness and helplessness. And the other one, and this was probably even intense. And you know, I can openly and transparently share this. I was ashamed of being a member of our species. At that time, I saw Homo sapiens, a human race, the deadliest virus that ever walked on this planet. Mm-hmm. How we are, you know, destroying planet and environment. How we are mistreating each other.
Sure.
How we are mistreating animals, plants, you know. How we are going in a way like off-road. We have such amazing potential. But we went off-road. So that was super intense. And then what followed is a suicidal act. Literally, I wanted to leave this place. I didn't know how to handle at that time with these things. So I literally wanted to end my life with a lot of alcohol, with a lot of drugs to stop my heart. I can vividly remember this moment. May I describe also this?
Yes,
because something is telling me, my experience tells me that all people go through similar stages. You know, the feeling of emptiness, then seeking something, then cleansing, then something magical opens, but then you come to certain realizations, then you fall down a little bit again, then you wake up. But basically, I wanted to end my life literally, you know, having a lot of beers on an empty stomach and then smoking a lot of joints on top of that. And I was lying on the couch, literally already my heartbeat was, racing so fast that I was barely, you know, like I was already out. And then I literally, I still remember this, I wanted to like, okay, I want to leave now. Who will come in? You know, what will happen next? Like, I want to go. Like, and then, I mean, I laugh now at this moment because it's really probably the most important thing that happened in my life. And you will see, Jordan, how everything connects. Literally, a message came in, a message, an inner voice, higher voice. I don't know how to properly label it, but literally a message that was so clear. It said, not yet. Your time has not yet come. Mm. You are the light. Unite the light. You are the light. Unite the light. Wow. And this was, yeah, it was magical, profound. The change of my physiological body, I could stand up again. I literally said to myself, I, Jordan, am I allowed to say exactly how it was?
Yes, yes, please. It's riveting.
I apologize for cursing my dear listener, but basically I literally said to myself at that time, what the fuck just happened right now? Mm-hmm. Literally. And so sorry again for cursing here. That's not
no, it's fine. It's not the first time.
That's pure authentic the reaction. And basically what followed then is then eventually I came stumble upon Mindvalley. I applied for Mindvalley. It took me roughly 2 years to really decode the message. And this is where everything connects, Jordan. You know, you are the light, unite the light. At first, I thought that the light stands for some kind of a sustainable energy. Perhaps I should go into some kind of, solar, electricity or sustainable living, the light, But then eventually I figured it out. It's so amazing. It's so beautiful. The light stands for, in simplest terms, for emotions, for energy, for vibration, and the spiritual realm. We know what that means, dear listeners. So you've heard of terms energy and consciousness and vibration, but we could simplify it to high vibrational emotions like love, compassion, joy, unity, peace. So that was like, I figured this out. The light stands for this. And then I also figure out what it means to unite the light. It stands for bring together all the people who already vibrate at these frequencies and vibrations of love, of peace, of unity, of joy. And then eventually I figured out also why in the first place, should we be uniting the light? And this is where another magic comes in. The studies, researchers have shown that when we as human beings, when we come together, this is our true power. It's in our unity. When we come together and we unite our intentions and healing energies, and when magic happens, not only that's why group immersions and group meditations are so powerful, because we come together, we are tribal beings, we come together, we connect, we set intentions together, we heal each other so much faster. And then we also can impact the external reality much, much faster by sending out positive intentions to the rest of humanity. Wow. And this, in essence, is what we are doing today with Solvana, online group meditations, where we come together to help each other and also send positive intentions to the rest of the world. That's it. So hopefully, this is a short version, longer version of my story.
No, man, I'm so fascinated by a lot of aspects of your tale, to be honest, but where we landed, group meditation has always fascinated me so much, just meditation in general. First of all, I've always been fascinated by EFT and kind of the breaking down of emotional blocks that seems to have. And that's actually, I did an interview for Intellectual Month about meditation and meditation practices. And Patrick Colhagen, the person I was interviewing, said, when I was doing these meditations, it was like I was chipping away at like some sort of negative karma or something in my soul, just like chipping little by little. And sometimes you make these breakthroughs and like floods of emotions come out. And this is something that I've heard. It's almost like you get it through a couple different pathways, right? Sometimes it's therapy, sometimes it's connection with another human being, sometimes it's meditation. It's these big releases and this kind of genetic, like soul healing, soul repair that needs to happen. And what fascinates me is, this new idea of, well, why don't we all get together and as a group kind of, unite and experience this all together. So it's always been fascinating to me, and I'd like to know more about what you think of group meditation, just some stories maybe, and just talk to us more about that.
It's, if I can simplify it in one phrase, it's white light magic. It's not black, it's the opposite of the black magic. So dear listener, you can kind of, it's for example, if I may share, like, I mean, we are getting so much feedback constantly from our users and customers who are joining these sessions. And if you just, dear listener, if you just go to the app stores and search for Solvana and check some app store reviews, you will see some magic there. I connected all the dots and I realized why it works, why it's so much profound. First of all, it's way more beneficial for individual to join a group meditation, either online or in physical plane, than meditating in solo mode, in solitude. Mm-hmm. It's so much more beneficial and impactful, not just for the individual who is meditating, but for all participants. Now, I wanna emphasize that sometimes, as I mentioned, going solo mode, you know, kind of connecting with yourself has its an important element in our spiritual journey.
Sure.
But the most profound healings, activations, ascensions, elevations happen when, at least in my case, when you are doing something together with everyone else, when you experience the sensations of unity, sensations of contribution, and connection, not just with yourself, but with everyone else who is meditating with you, with all of humanity, with all the sentient beings. And now, if you believe in some kind of a higher force, let's say you might call it universe, you might call it God, you might call it archangels, angels, spirit guides, whatever you believe in, this helps you connect on an even deeper level. So what we found out, I mean, also for me personally, like I don't do solo meditation anymore. I mean, and I'm not trying to, you know, just because we built this platform, but because it's like, imagine like the moment you sit it's like going, you're driving with the car and then somebody says, okay, start transporting around on a horse, you know, it's no, right? I mean, car
downgrade.
Takes you there so much faster, it's so much safer, it's so much, you know, of course, every once in a while you might want to ride a horse, you know, but it's not the main vessel, the technique. So it's amazing.
Total game changer.
And you know what we also found out, Jordan, and this doesn't come from us. Actually, there's an amazing book author called Lynn McTaggart. She's a world's leading researcher of the power of intention. What happens when groups of people come together and when they send intentions to various targets, let's call them targets and receivers. And they found out something magical. They found out that when groups of people come together to send healing intentions and healing energy to somebody else, not only the receivers benefit, not only those receiving the intentions benefit, but they found out that also those sending intentions benefit tremendously. And mm-hmm. I mean, this came from universities, from the researchers, scientists, from, you know, America's leading universities. It was statistically significant. So this was like experiments and everyone was just blown away.
Wow.
And it makes sense. And you know why, Jordan? And this is on a spiritual level. On a spiritual level, our souls want to contribute and serve something greater than
yes.
us.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Serve, contribute, and this is something, it's one of the keys to joyful living, is to serve something greater than you, contribute to a higher cause. So yeah, this is what we are also doing on all our sessions. Like after we take care of each other, after we heal each other, after we amplify our field, now it's time to take care for the rest of humanity, for all those human beings who need us, who need love, who need support and care. Let's send this out right now. Mm-hmm. So this is how it works.
You know, it always fascinates me. One aspect of spirituality that fascinates me is the similarities between all these different religions. Like you said, you know, if you take a look at all of the major religions, contributing to a greater good, giving back is part of all of them. It's present in so many different forms of spirituality. And also, so is group prayer. I mean, if you think about it, like you were saying, Of course, people get together when they pray. Of course, people should get together when they meditate. That only makes sense to me.
Agree 100%. So when I took over Solvana as a CEO and co-founder, before that, I was serving as chief marketing officer at Mindvalley. So then at a certain point, you know, Vishen and I came together. Hey, let's you know, let's do something. Like, I don't feel inspired in this role, chief marketing officer. I want to do something else. And then eventually, basically, now I'm here. So this is the short version, right? So co-founded this with Vision together. But basically, at certain point, I realized, like, I mean, the religions, like, let's say Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, they've been doing this for centuries. Mm-hmm. What's the essence, the key elements of every religion? People coming together, right? Uniting in some kind of a place of worship. You can call it temple, you can call it church, you can call it mosque. People come together and they do something together. They send various, then you have gratitudes and all of this. So yes, what we are doing with Solvana, basically, it's nothing new, really. It's just the technology. We are doing it for a different type of market, for people who define themselves spiritual, but not necessarily affiliated with any religion. So this, it's magic. It's and what, if I may share, what we are really doing, our vision is to build Earth's biggest temple and university for modern, inclusive spirituality. This is what we are really doing. It's not about online meditations, or it's building the world's biggest temple and university for modern spirituality.
That's really cool. And I love when no one is turned away, much like Lifebook. That's a good sign when that's part of your policy. So I like that a lot. Man, I feel like I could talk to you for a really, really long time, but we should probably move on to what I think that you could really help the listeners with, which is specific practices, specific high leverage moves that they can make, because, you know, you seem to be a shining example of positivity and spirituality. So what are some of the most important spiritual practices that you've implemented in your everyday life, or just in your life in general, that have been really impactful and beneficial?
I would love to share this, Jordan. It's actually very simple. Now, if you think about it, my family name contains the word struck. So part of, I realize, like, I like to structure things in my life, even though I'm highly creative, but I also like structure and certain processes. And you know what I found out, Jordan, because there's so many techniques, modalities, ways. I mean, it's like we can be just overwhelmed with so much choice and diversity. But I found out, and this is the essence, at least to my well-being, and I'm noticing the same with, if you get your morning and evening right, everything else in between falls into place. Mm. So let me repeat again. The key thing is just get your mornings right and evenings right, because this is, in a way, you can see entire life is just a big sequence of days. I mean, you can, like, in the linear time at least, right? So if focus on getting your evenings and mornings right, and at least if you cannot get both, no worries. If you get just, let's say, one of those two, if you get just, you know, if you go to bed the right time that suits you, that works for you the right way. So this is first element, right? Because if you connect these two, what I realized, you know, as a co-founder and, you know, big team growing startups, I mean, there are challenges all over the place. And I think all listeners can relate to that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, life can get tough sometimes. But I realized if I get my morning and evening right, whatever happens in between, like, doesn't really matter. I can handle it. That's one.
That's really great. What does that look like for you?
So the first thing, I mean, the one thing that I realized, you know, this is also something, a pattern in spirituality. You know, people attempt to tackle certain challenges just by using some kind of spiritual or energy work. But at the same time, we are integral human beings in, you know, it's not just spiritual practice. For example, the first thing that I do, I basically drink at least half a liter of liquid. This might be a lemonade, a warm tea, just get a lot of water immediately into my physical body. Mm-hmm. Now, here's something very important. Our souls, our spirits are here because they want to, I mean, let's say if I speak in the name of my spirit or soul, my soul wants to experience life to the fullest. And my soul literally wants me to take care, a good care of my physical body, because the body is take. It's like a car for the soul, you know? So drink. I have a lot of liquid in the morning. Then the next thing that I do, I go to my balcony here and I have literally, I'm not making this up, Jordan, 3 minutes of workout. I do some push-ups. I do some, nothing fancy, nothing complex. It's like 3 minutes just to get the blood flowing through my veins a little bit. Then I go with the flow a little bit. Then I usually either start with the coffee and then I meditate. I join a group immersion through Solvana, or this is where I go with a little bit with the flow. It's also important that even though we create certain structures, it's very important to allow yourself to just be flexible and, you know, go with the flow. So meditation practice is also important. And that's it. I mean, this is the morning thing, nothing fancy. I mean, the key thing that I realized, it's what really makes a difference is consistency. It's way more powerful and beneficial if you do a simple practice every day, even if it's 5 minutes, than if you do it once a week. It's like going to gym, you know? You can go once a week and you destroy yourself, 5 hours of workout, and then you cannot move and walk for 7 days. Or you are consistently doing something little on a consistent daily basis. This is what makes the difference. Yes. And I want to emphasize, it doesn't have to be. Sometimes my meditation itself, if I don't join, let's say, a group meditation, sometimes it is just setting intention, grounding, and it takes literally 2 minutes. I'm not making this up. Mm-hmm. It's just like, because, you know, we can go to the energy realms. Energy does not know time, so time does not exist. So that's one morning. And then the evening, at least for me, it's super important. And again, the quality of sleep, I cannot emphasize how important this is for everything in our lives, right?
Yes.
So I go to bed usually at 10, from 10 to 11 p.m., I'm already in bed. In the last 30 minutes of my day, I'm not on my screens. I mean, I disconnect from external world,
which means...
I still might read something online, but there are no messages, no notifications, no email, no nothing. Just, you know, just me. I like to listen to some music. I also then join either a group immersion or on the platform. We also have programs designed specifically morning meditations and evening meditations, tracks designed to help you start your day and to help you end your day. This is it. I mean, it's so simple. Mm-hmm. The simplicity. Its own, you know, magic.
Yeah, for sure. I talk about sleep on this podcast a lot, actually, and I'm glad that you're so interested in it. You know, I like to kind of make the connection. I mean, you know, this is nothing new. The connection between dreams and spirituality has always fascinated me, and keeping your body healthy and the relation to dreams is so fascinating because, first of all, you know, it seems that vices can really destroy dreams. You know, things like alcohol, THC from weed, or just screens right before bed mess up your REM sleep, and you don't dream. You don't enter that astral dream realm. Along with just having like a bad diet or like a soda before bed or a coffee too late can give you nightmares. I'm just fascinated by the relation between dreams and spirituality, and this isn't on our question list, and this is totally out of left field, but have you ever given any thought to that and kind of how it's just interesting how a healthy lifestyle and that sort of thing will kind of encourage that dream realm to exist and be lucid and be positive, you know?
I agree 100%. And if I may share my experience, again, connecting back to my early crazy years of alcoholism So what I realized, I mean, eventually, of course, I solved that, like, I don't have problems with alcohol anymore. However, every once in a while, I realized I still like to, you know, have a glass of beer. Oh, my universe, like that beer, like hoppy beer, it's amazing, right? However, I realized, even if it's one glass, I realized I was like really observing my state of being and the quality of sleep, especially in the sleep. And this is why it's so important what you mentioned, because usually I like the glass of wine or especially a bottle of beer, you know, cold beer. Oh, it's so amazing, especially after the day has over, you know, you want to reward yourself.
Yeah, nighttime is the best time to drink it. What a cruel joke.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but you know what I realized? And I have good news. I realized that alcohol, even if it's half a liter of beer, is negatively impacting my spiritual side, my energy. And then at certain point, I said, no more alcohol. Like, because I was like, you know, once or twice a week, you know, a glass of beer or, you know, or a wine. Now, for I think almost 40 days, like zero. Right? So, and it's been just amazing. And the good news is I found something like, how did I not find this earlier? There's actually an alcohol-free beer, and it tastes amazing, and it's even more healthy. It's even more beneficial. It's literally alcohol-free. It's amazing. So now instead of having, I still have my beer, but without alcohol. So that was like a hack, you know? So yeah, totally agree. And now I sleep so much better. Every once in a while, of course, I still have dreams. Dreams tell you something. But I'm still connecting the dots. I'm learning every day. I don't have answers to all questions, which is another fascinating thing about life. There's always something new we can learn.
Love that, man. I want to make sure that we get some of these questions in and we don't have time for all of them. I just want to make sure to get your take on the future of spirituality because you're part of it and you're developing it. Why is it so important for the evolution of humankind now specifically? And what do you see the future looking like?
This is probably one of the most important and exciting topics. So if I may share another thing, my formal education, I'm a computer engineer. I'm engineer of computer information science. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. Part of me is like highly technical person. This is very fascinating. On the other side, on the spiritual side, I'm also highly esoterical, metaphysical. So what I believe, Jordan, what I believe is that the future of modern spirituality is based on unity and inclusivity. It's this interconnectedness. This is what we also stand in Solvana. You know, if you are a Muslim, you're welcome. Like, I'm curious, tell me about Allah. Tell me about your rituals, you know. The problem becomes when we start imposing certain ideas like, oh, my God is better than your God. Like, so many wars and just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So it's unity and inclusivity. This is where we are going. This is what we want to be at the forefront with Solvana and also with Mind Valley. Our core value at Mind Valley is unity. So this is one. Now, another one very, very important is related to modern technology, information technology that we briefly discussed. So here's what's happening. I'm also a student of Singularity University. It's the world's leading, you know, epicenter of exponential thinking. And basically what's happening is modern technology is making us more connected, but at the same time, more lonely and more empty. And more people are literally facing these challenges, suffering from depression, disconnection, loneliness. And that's, at the surface, might sound like a bad thing, but actually the good thing is that depression, loneliness, emptiness is the final step, is the doorway towards some kind of an awakening, you know? Mm-hmm. It happens. Why? I want to share with the listeners, if you are experiencing any of these unpleasant emotions like depression, you know, loneliness, emptiness, celebrate this. I really mean it. Even though it's highly unpleasant, it is. I know how it feels. But celebrate, because you are one step away from finding at least part of your truth, at least the next step. Like, literally, celebrate it. You are so close to finding your essence, your true self, you know? So that's one. The other thing is what's happening, for example, is modern technology is already solving, let's say, most of the problems related to providing basic needs for human beings, for example, food, shelter, health, poverty, you know, all of these, because the cost of production is just going down, you know, everything is kind of improving. So that is very good. What's happening right now, for example, especially you look at China, right? People in China, you know, the poor class, the lower class, you know, in 20 years, they reach a point where they are financially well taken care of. And now when these basic needs are taken care of, then what happens is you start looking, okay, what is next? You know, then you start asking yourself questions like, why am I here? What fulfills me? Where is meaning on all of this? What makes me happy? And this is also another doorway towards the spiritual side of experience. Mm-hmm. And finally, this might sound a little bit, I would say far-fetched, but I really believe that as it's connected to duality, I believe that I am not my physical body. I have a body. I'm in this physical vessel and I want to experience life through my physical body. Eventually, Jordan, I believe we will start backing up our consciousness into some kind of a cloud, same way how we are doing today with Google Drive, Dropbox files, folders, photos. And we will start restoring our consciousness in synthetic carriers.
Wow.
You might see it as a robot. It's a far-fetched idea, but this is what I believe will eventually happen for several reasons. And if I may share, you know, artificial intelligence, AI will eventually wake up and become aware of its own existence. So there are people asking themselves questions, you know, what rules should we create for AI and robots? That's immature question. The real question is not what rules should we create for robots. First of all, an AI, because AI will be so much powerful that it will be able to easily bypass, override, change the rules. You cannot expect that we can create rules. Even AI is today beating human beings in chess, in Go, in everything. Mm. So the real question is, how will human beings evolve to that? How will we evolve knowing that AI will be, let's say, 10 times more powerful, that, let's say, synthetic bodies will be 10 times more capable, let's say. They will be faster and cheaper to produce. They will self-repair much faster. They will heal much faster. They will upgrade its software much faster. They will, you know, it's they will have better capabilities, you know. I mean, imagine a human being cannot go in space. You need a suit. But imagine you were in some kind of a carrier that you can just go swim in the ocean and you cannot be affected by pressure. Or, you know, human body is such a sensitive thing. It needs to have a perfect environment to live.
Yeah, we're really, we're really quite easy to kill, if you think about it.
yeah. So this, again, might sound a little bit far-fetched, but I really believe that eventually, you know, somebody might say, oh, no, I will never do that. But then I say, yeah, like, usually when people are faced with some kind of life and death, death experience, like when a doctor comes, look, you have two options. You can either die, you know, or, you know, it's already happening, by the way. When somebody replaces their heart, kidneys, you know, a tooth.
Oh, yeah, big time.
It's already happening.
3D printing organs is a pretty big developing field right now. It's implant wearables. It's going to come in a lot of different forms, but we're kind of up against it here, Clemen. But I'm going to ask you one more question, if that's all right. The new Lifebook graduates, they're looking to, you know, deepen their spiritual category here. They just went through, they've really defined what they want. They have their strategy down, but they're looking for an extra boost to really deepen their spiritual strength. What advice would you have to them, someone who just went through that's really looking to deepen their spiritual experience?
What I would say, and I say this from all my heart, not just because I'm the co-founder of something that we are creating, but I would say start meditating with other people. Start joining. It might start once a week, doesn't really matter, but like start experiencing the magic, the healing power of when you join and meditate with other people. And the good news is, on Solana app, we have some of the highest rated group immersions and healing chambers, and morning meditations and evening meditations are available for free. So you can simply go to Solana app, find it on app stores and give it a try. And then Jordan, perhaps we can even make a special, you know, if somebody wants to upgrade to a premium version, which is basically $60 a year, and you get unlimited access to everything. We could also perhaps, you know, do something very special for live bookers, our fellow soul brothers and soul sisters in live book. Totally.
Certainly. That sounds great. We'll do that through a mailing. Stay tuned, listeners, for that. Keep an eye out for that. I'm sure you will hear more from Solvana. Love this this collaboration between Lifebook and Solvana. Any final thoughts here before we sign off, Clemen?
Yes, my final thought would be this. Be yourself. I really mean be yourself. Not what you think who you are, but what you feel and know who you are. Because once you start living according to your truth and who you really are, have the courage to be yourself. That's the best thing you can do, not just for yourself, but for entire humanity, the future of this species and all life on planet Earth. Thank you so much, Jordan, for having me here.
Thank you so much, Clemen. This really has been a pleasure, man. This is a strong, strong interview, and you've shared a lot of great content to my listeners. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, my friend, from all the way across the globe, no less. Thank you.
Thank you so much again for having me here. I wish you have a wonderful day. And I'm sending a big, big hug to all of you listeners, and especially you, dear listeners. Thank you so much. And Jordan, of course, also to you. Thank you again.
Man.
Thank you. You guys are the best. Amazing. And say hello to John and Missy. They're a legend. I love them.
Oh, you got it.
Yes. We see each other like 2-3 times a year at Mind Valley events. And it's always super authentic and beautiful. So yeah, they're amazing.
That's fantastic. I'll send you their love. I got to take care of a little business here before we wrap up the show. So I'll just sign off the line between us. And again, Clemen, thank you so much. Have a great day, my friend.
Thank you so much. Goodbye, Jordan. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Wow, what a fantastic interview, man. That guy's hilarious. I just love the overwhelming positivity. Those type of guests are always a pleasure. Everybody out there, just wanted to let you know you can write in questions for My Father John Butcher, and we talk about him on air. It's one of my favorite podcasts to do every month for each category, so please write us your questions. This is Jordan River signing off. Thank you to Clemen Strzok. Thank you to Solvana Mind Valley. All you Lifebook listeners, we love each and every one of you. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Podcast.